The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg, and I'm Rob Steele, and welcome to Cinema Savants, the review show. Ta-da! It's a big introduction this week because we've got two movies that took place in the 80s. Well, no, yours was the 90s. It's 20 years old. Mine just took place 30 years ago.
And this movie, the movie I'm doing, actually was released this past Sunday, 20 years ago, this past Sunday, March 31st. So it's right on 20 years. It is one of my favorite...
Happy birthday to you.
...comedies, one of my favorite romantic comedies, one of my favorite teen comedies, one of my favorite movies, period. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Shakespeare. I feel old now, by the way.
20 years, right? It's like 30 Things I Hate About You, I guess, would be the update. Sadly, they would be missing one of the actors, but we'll get to that. Shakespeare's been adapted probably thousands of times at this point in film. And to me, this is absolutely one of the best adaptations. It is the story of two young ladies, one of whom is sweet and charming, one of whom is pretty much the opposite.
Not as much.
Not as much. And the younger daughter wishes to date and go out on a prom. Father, who is awesome, everyone is terrific in this movie, he won't let his younger daughter date until the older daughter dates. The older daughter does not like boys. The older daughter hates boys because boys are gross and icky and disgusting and stupid. And in this movie, they basically are. So the scheme is built to try to trick someone into dating her, played by Julia Stiles, so that the younger daughter can go out on the date. The gentleman who is creating this whole crazy scheme is a quite young, although not as young as he was in Third Rock, a quite young Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is an awesome actor. Love him, and he's terrific in this movie. The guy who had a real breakthrough performance in this, the guy who is going to be this sad person who takes on Miss Katharina, because it's Kate, is Heath Ledger. So this is Heath Ledger's absolute breakout role. And he still had his Australian accent. He's an exchange student. And everybody is hilarious in this movie. But Heath Ledger is just absolutely magnetic in this, like he was in everything. Same thing with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's got a very different kind of screen presence, to be sure. But still, you just watch everything he does. And Julia Stiles is terrific. This movie is so funny. It's so charming. It should be funny and charming. It's based on a Shakespearean play, and they did a good job of the adaptation. But it's absolutely one of the best teen comedies ever because it's funny, it's sweet, it has, you know, an interesting message, and the performances are just fantastic. Larry Miller plays the father of the two daughters, and he doesn't do that much acting. He's mainly more of a stand-up comic, but he has done some acting. He's done some dramatic roles, and he's very good. He is hilarious in this. God, what a movie. Everybody in this movie, again. It's a terrific movie. I can't imagine that it's 20 years old. It's absolutely tragic, obviously, that we don't have Heath Ledger anymore. Not because we can't get a 20-year follow-up. That's the least of it. But, man, it would be cool if he was still around because I would love to see these characters 20 years down the road. It would be that could be an incredible film, but there's no way to do it without Heath Ledger. So, but again, this is one of my favorite movies ever. And so many teen comedies are just awful. Even for teens, they're awful. And this is just a brilliant, absolutely brilliant movie. And 20 years old. Who knew that was that long ago? But excellent. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Kind of, would you consider this like a Breakfast Club, the next generation, in that it's the teen movie of the generation that should stick around for a while?
I would say that's a good, I would say that's a very good thing. And so actually, you know, I kind of like this movie even better than Breakfast Club. And Breakfast Club is terrific, but I actually like this movie better. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Allison Janney, also in this movie. Gabby Union, also in this movie. I mean... God, what a
David
great...
Leisure's in this movie. Oh, sorry.
David Leisure is in this movie. That's true. But yeah, it's your comment. Absolutely. I would agree. But
actually, I want to ask you this about it too. And this is more a question about Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess it's a trivia thing. Because now we know him as Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yes. In this movie, he was credited as Joseph-Gordon-Levitt.
Which is really strange.
I don't see hyphens moving around that much. I was just, did you happen to know a thing? Or is that something we're going to be looking up before the next show?
Maybe just a typo when they did the credits for the film, because I had, for quite a while, I had a hard time remembering where the hyphen went, and that might be the problem. Because
I think that's why. Little bastard moved it on us.
and he looks like he's 12 in this movie. I mean, my God.
He might have been.
He always looks young, but such a funny movie, and it's just so sweet. And God, Heath Ledger is just he did a hell of a lot more than play the Joker. He did a hell of a lot more than that.
Yes.
And you see it all right there. I mean, he's just great, this movie.
Yeah, which I guess brings us to the movie I did, which ties into The Breakfast Club. See, wasn't expecting that, were you? And I'll explain how as we go along. The movie I did is actually, it's not 20 years old. It's, I think, barely 20 weeks old, if you count when it came out in theaters. And Todd and I have both talked about this on all of the shows, in that we've seen the movies that allegedly come after this, so that makes this a prequel. And we were hesitant about seeing it because the Transformers movies have been kind of crap.
Kind of.
Let me rephrase that. Some of them have been absolute crap.
Thank you.
So when Bumblebee came out, and I kind of went, that's my least favorite Transformer of all time, going back to the TV series. I don't know that I wanted to see it. And I looked, okay, who's in it? Starring Haley Steinfeld, who was really good, by the way, and John Cena. Oh, crap. Really? Because, you know, I like wrestling. And when John Cena comes to the ring, I am not one of the people who chant, "You suck" at him. But I do really enjoy the Pokemon-based meme of your John Cena cannot do more than 4 moves, which is a Pokemon joke. And if you play Pokemon, you know that's really damn funny. So this is a prequel movie, the origins of Bumblebee on Earth. And it does start off on Cybertron, where the Transformers come from. That part of this movie is awesome. Because it goes back to the Transformers TV show, and you've got lots of the Transformers from the TV show that I liked it a lot when I was a kid, and seeing them as a live action version on the screen was just heartwarming. I finally get to see them the way they were supposed to be seen. It's very nice. I liked it. But there's really only 4 parts of this movie that I consider to be really good. Now, does make it worth seeing, especially this one part. I'll get to it. But I'll start with Haley Steinfeld, who is the person who encounters Bumblebee when he first gets to, well, actually, John Cena does, but we'll get to him later. Haley Steinfeld ends up owning Bumblebee as a car. She's a teenager. This could be a sequel to, what was it, Edge of 18, you said was the other movie she was in? Because she turns 18 5 minutes into this movie, so maybe it's a sequel. Anyway, she ends up getting a VW bug, which turns out to be Bumblebee in disguise. Bumblebee, who has come to Earth from the war on Cybertron, but has amnesia. Oh, darn. He had his vocal cords, well, whatever the equivalent of vocal cords are in a Transformer, ripped out by Starscream, which was also a pretty cool scene. And that explains why he doesn't talk in later movies. Got it. I'm thinking replacement parts, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, Charlie is a girl played by Haley Steinfeld, who is a likable character. She's a misunderstood teenager, like all of them are, who misses her father, who died before the movie started, has to deal with her mom's new boyfriend, who, I'll spoil this, unfortunately survives the movie. Because if he doesn't, that'd be a scene to tune in for, because it'd be great. But no, he lives. Damn it. Anyway, it's a movie character. I'm allowed to do that with movie characters. And her interactions with Bumblebee and learning how to communicate with Bumblebee because he doesn't have a radio yet, so he can't do the tuning in the stations and picking up words thing.
Ah, cool.
There's some really good scenes and good interaction, and she's a very believable character because a lot of the times when the big action scenes start, she goes, "Crap, I'm going to run away." Like you should.
Yes.
And the person they're running away from a lot is John Cena, who plays very weirdly Agent Burns, who works for the Army. Why he doesn't have a rank?
That's odd, yes.
I don't know. But he's actually the first person who encounters Bumblebee, who crashes into Earth, accidentally into John Cena's squad of trainees. So, of course, Bumblebee must be evil.
Yes.
And we must hunt down the Bumblebee, which doesn't have a name. He doesn't even get the name until the end of the movie, which makes sense.
Yes.
So John Cena actually plays John Cena, the military character. And you know what? That works. He's not the detriment I kind of expected him to be in this movie. He's actually even kind of a plus, especially when the Decepticons come to Earth and align themselves with the U.S. military to track down the evil fugitive Bumblebee. No, he's not. Think about this. And John Cena even points it out when he says, I believe it was, should we really trust these guys? I mean, come on, they're called Decepticons.
That's awesome.
Everyone else in the room goes, oh, hang on a minute, you know, but.
That's hilarious.
If John Cena can point it out, love you, John, really, but damn, come on. Someone else should have gone, excuse me, I've got a question. I guess, you know, I said four parts. I'm going to cut it down to three because this is to me the best part of the movie. And it comes from one of the Cybertron scenes, and it goes back to being a fan of the TV series. Because my favorite Transformer was Soundwave, partially because of the voice, partially because of the concept of a Walkman cassette player with transforming cassettes. I loved the idea. Now, we do not see him as a Walkman because he's not gotten to Earth to make that changeover. But to see a really well-rendered or live action, however you want to call it, Starscream, or not Starscream, Soundwave on screen with the voice. He's got to have the voice. And he did. And he looked at the screen and said two magic words that made me very happy. Ravage, eject. What he did on the show, his chest opened up, a cassette flew out, turned into Ravage, the really nasty Transformer cat, dog, jaguar, nasty thing that bit the crap out of Optimus Prime. I rewound that and watched it like seven or eight times. That alone for me was worth watching the movie. Unfortunately, it had to counteract Charlie's family, who is, I mean, take every annoying family stereotype from any teen movie ever, put them in a blender, multiply them a few times, and put them in this. And that's why you wanted everyone in her family to be run over by something at some point in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this could have been an excellent movie if those characters aren't there.
Mm, that's sad.
They absolutely ruined what could have been a good, and it's not the actors. I'm not blaming the actors. It's the script.
Yeah.
It could have been such a good movie. So I found the way to do it. And I suspect this is going to be kind of like the Jar Jar Binks mix of Phantom Menace, where you cut all of their scenes out. It'll shorten the movie by half an hour. That's fine. That means it'll be easier to get to the Ravage eject scene, which is not, there's two Cybertron scenes. There's one at the beginning. That's not where it is. It's at the one in the middle, which is a flashback and worth finding.
That sounds like
I'm probably going to cut that scene out and just make it one video clip that I will watch over and over.
Definitely a win-win.
Yeah. Thankfully, the place to watch this now is on DVD or Blu-ray or streaming or however you get it at home. That's not, you know, Netflix or free TV. So you can take that one scene and just watch it over and over, which, if you're a Transformers fan, is what I recommend. So could have been a good movie, but you screwed it up by adding three characters that didn't need. Okay, they kind of needed to be there because she's just turning 18. She doesn't live on her own in this house. Fine.
But they could have been better characters.
They could have been such characters with brains.
Larry Miller could have been her dad. He could have jumped from 10 Things I Hate About You.
That would have worked. Oh, and the tie into the Breakfast Club thing. Yes. There is a scene where Bumblebee is just sitting in a corner watching videotapes. And one of them is the Breakfast Club, and he adopts the, John Bender fist raising thing at the end of the movie. That becomes his thing, and you go, that works for him. So, will there be more in the Bumblebee series of Transformers movies? You know what? Since we are probably not going to see the family again, yes, go ahead. As long as you leave that kind of character out of the movie, we'll be fine.
That sounds like a plus.
Big plus. Bonus points for everyone. Anyway, that brings us to the end of another Cinema Savant's review show. Please come back on Monday. See, I got it right this time. Or go back and listen to last Monday's if you haven't yet, which I recommend because it was fun. But yeah, tune in back in on Monday when we'll have more movie news for you. Until then, you should get out and go see a movie.
That's pretty much it.